Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Still no offensive coordinator yet for the Arizona Cardinals, but there doesn't seem to be any panic because they don't have any offensive coordinator. And one of those reasons why is just how good of a signing they've just had in the last week, both at offensive line and at running back. Offensive line was Kugler, the guy that used to be Max Starks' offensive line coach at the end of Max Starks' tenure when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he told us this is the guy.
This is actually a surprisingly great hire for the Cardinals to bring in a guy of the caliber of Sean Kugler. You know, from my experience, I had 3 years with Cougs, my final three in Pittsburgh, and we both left together. We left the Steelers together.
And he loved him. And then you add on, now Kugler didn't come straight from the Steelers now, but you do have that exact situation in James Saxon, who came directly from the Steelers. And if you didn't put it all together, you can imagine how good of a job he's been doing in a tough situation, as he went from having arguably the best running back in the league and then having James Conner, and you really didn't miss a beat in the running game for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. And then when they had James Conner hurt, nothing bad happened in that situation because they kept rolling even after that.
So taking those in order, the offensive coordinator spot, the complication to me from the outside looking in is that you wanted an experienced offensive coordinator, obviously, to go with your head coach who has no NFL coaching experience, and he wants to adapt his system to the NFL. Well, guess what? If you're an experienced offensive coordinator, do you necessarily want that position when you're not going to be calling plays and it will not be your system? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Kugler, talking to a couple of guys on the Cardinals roster, they're all very familiar with him just because of that nearly a month he spent with them at the end of the 2017 season. So there's that comfort level. And my understanding is the existing O-linemen, who are the DJ Humphreys and A.Q. Shipleys, who were with the Cardinals late in 2017, they're fired up about this guy. I guess mm-hmm. he has quite the rep around the league.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say this, Paulie, to answer your question about the offensive coordinator. You do want that job if, in fact, Cliff Kingsbury lights it up. You want that job because guess what? All of a sudden, the next Sean McVay is going to become the next Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, you're the quarterback coach. Oh, yeah, we'll take you. You know, it's just, look, yeah, you don't want it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have no idea how this thing is going to go.
And Wolf, I agree with that, but you realize the Cardinals are like the sixth team since 1970 to finish dead last in all half dozen categories in offense. So it would be a huge turnaround to do that right out of the gate. I mean, for Cliff Kingsbury that would be an incredible degree of difficulty.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that you don't want to be the first offensive coordinator because you have no idea whether it's going to work. You have absolutely no idea what's going to happen here. Now, I will tell you right now, the hiring of James Saxon, it cannot be measured with human hands, ladies and gentlemen, how critical this is. The offensive line coach and the running back coach really have to work in unison. They have to work together. And right now, I realize they weren't on the same staff with the Steelers, but Kugler and James Saxon, they come from the same kind of offense that the Steelers ran. The Steelers have run the same offense for a long, long time, especially with Lev Bell
mm-hmm.
and what Lev Bell has been able to do there. I love the fact that these guys are going to be working together closely. How are you going to block this front on this running play? How are you going to block this blitz with this protection? The running back coach has got to be on the same page as the offensive line coach. And I think so far, just based on things I've heard from people that I respect greatly, these two hirings by the Arizona Cardinals, they're huge.
What I don't get, though, is how the two of you don't feel like the offensive coordinator position is a guarantee of success when the grandfather of the entire air raid offense says,
you know, I'm kind of curious myself
on whether or not it's going to work in the NFL.
So, okay, let's put this together now. You're going to try and blend the air raid with the Steelers' run game?
Yeah, you're going to try to blend the air raid with more traditional runs, no doubt.
I mean, yeah. that's interesting. That's a very unique challenge. Is it even possible and plausible and feasible to blend those two together?
Well, we've already seen it too, right? The air raid also incorporates an awful lot of motion and misdirection as well, right? I mean, this is something it's been doing for a long time, and that's what you're going to see. Think of the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Think of the Chiefs offense, man. Where all of a sudden you've got Tyreek Hill, and believe me, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that changes things.
But they move him all over the place, right, in motion. Look over here, everybody. Look over here. And then there's nothing. They're running base plays, tackle zone, and inside zone. That's what they're playing. That's what they're running. And they're killing you doing that because of all the misdirection. Now, if they can incorporate some of those things with more traditional runs in the way that the Steelers would run the ball with Lev Bell, boy, this is going to be a slam dunk.
It'd be akin to taking a Ferrari and making it a 4x4, right? Give me this elite sports car, this supercar, and I'm going to lift it up and jack it up, and I'm going to put some big wheels on it and tires. I mean, that's essentially what you're doing. You're going to take the air raid, and then you're going to incorporate the power run game into it?
Yeah, you're going to balance it with a power run game.
What I'm hoping you see is it's up to the defense which one you get. You know, if you really want to use David Johnson the right way, David Johnson's in the backfield, and if the defense shows you a run front, now you get all air raid, David Johnson motions out, here we go, 4 and 5 wide down the field, and you hopefully have the flexible blocking tight end that can catch as well, and then if they look like they're in nickel or even in dime, okay, David Johnson stay in, here we go, and let's run you over.
Can I hope that they go 4 and 5 wide as well? Basin only, I just don't want to see 21 personnel get the eye and run the power. I don't want to see that. I want to see this expanded. You've heard me talking about this, but it's so true. Do both. That's what Sean McVay is doing. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs, that's what they're doing. They're combining the old with the new. Do both.
And to Doug's point about looking at the front and letting that dictate what exactly you do, if there was one, and there were many epic fails by the Cardinals offense this year, it was the inability to get teams out of putting 8 in the box. They could never make a team pay for putting 8 in the box whenever David Johnson was in the game. And he was very frustrated about that, as he should have been.
By the way, the little thing about Mike Leach, I had to tell you what he's doing that he's never done before. He sent this out in November. So I don't know if he was joking, but it's actually happening. Hey, Washington State students, I'm thinking about teaching an evening seminar class next semester with my friend Senator Bumgardner, the actual senator from the state of Washington. Leadership lessons in insurgent warfare and football strategy. It's actually going to happen. They'll meet once a week for 6 weeks. And what the class is about is how you can compare important moments in the history of guerrilla warfare within the air raid offense. I think we've got to take this class to really know what Cliff Kingsbury is doing.
Is it online?
I don't know. The history of guerrilla warfare. For instance, the first class is going to involve case study discussions on the first Arab revolt against the Ottoman Empire in World War I and how the Turks can be similar to the film review of Washington State's 33-10 win over USC in 2017.
Wolf, that sounds like one of your film rooms.
You're going to break down the Great Siege of Malta? Is that what you're going to do?
I don't know.
Incorporating 14th century history with football, Wolf. That's like one of your film rooms.
I think we've got to sign up for this. Coming up next, did the NFL draft just completely get flipped upside down due to one decision? And what does that do for the Cardinals? That's next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. One of the things I'm excited about coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, and I think we might actually get a legitimate answer, is to ask Bruce Arians, who's coming on at 9, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. One of the criteria of getting the Buccaneers job was to declare you believe in Jameis Winston. As the general manager was not interested, Jason Light was not interested at all in anybody who did not believe in Jameis Winston.
So you're saying BA would not have gotten the job if he went to draft another quarterback.
Correct. So since that is true,
then maybe he'll open up and tell us, does he believe and agree with this statement?
I've never seen him have a poor outing, not one, which at quarterbacks, it's impossible to do, but he's done it. And I don't know, I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he's signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
Those are comments around Halloween from the current head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, who had no idea he was going to get fired at the end of the year as Texas Tech head coach, then become the USC offensive coordinator for a few weeks, then become the Arizona Cardinals head coach and actually have the number one pick where he could try to influence the general manager into picking Kyler Murray number one. I think most of us believe there's a 0.5% chance of the Arizona Cardinals drafting Kyler Murray at number one and then moving on from Josh Rosen. But after the Mitchell Trubisky thing, I don't swear off of any position of somebody trading up to come get Haskins or Kyler Murray. And so I want to ask BA, what do you think of Kyler Murray?
I
think he'll actually answer it. Granted, he doesn't have all the info. We got the combine and we got everything else, but it became official yesterday at the deadline. Kyler Murray did declare for the NFL draft, and I think this is great for the Arizona Cardinals because anything that creates more intrigue and always it's the quarterback position helps the Arizona Cardinals as far as the price of that pick if they choose to trade it.
Douglas, if we're talking about drafting Kyler Murray with a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, somewhere in there, not based on talent, of course, but based on the fact you think he's going to play baseball, okay? And maybe you're going to go ahead in a fifth-round, sixth-round pick somewhere in there. You're going to draft a just in case. I got no problem with that. But honestly, are you going to go ahead based on the fact he had one huge year on the college scene, right? Kyler Murray, one huge year on the college scene. You're going to go ahead and draft him with a first-round pick or number one overall, and he's not even 5'9"?
Would I do that? No.
No.
But it's already established. Granted, not the 5'9 point, but it's already established that that's all it takes. Mark Sanchez, Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, quarterbacks have a year. They do well, and then you have a good workout and combine, and suddenly you're the hottest commodity in the world.
Yeah, but they just weren't under 5'9". I know the definition. I've been saying it. For years, Payson Odines, I've been saying the definition of a franchise quarterback is changing, and it has changed before our very eyes. This, to this degree, I'm not so sure about that.
Size matters not. Judge him by his size, do you?
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Quarterbacks, people have always said, hey, quarterbacks come in all different shapes and sizes. And while that was somewhat true, I think it's starting to become really true.
I mean, that's Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN. And at what point do we say, okay, Baker's doing it, Breeze is doing it, and Russell Wilson is doing it? And I just gave you an example as I went, I think, tallest to shortest on NFL combine numbers.
Yeah.
Where's the point where we'll just... Now it's too low.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray, just no way Kyler Murray can do it. Why not?
I think it's Kyler Murray. That's the point right there. I think he'll get killed in the NFL.
I'm with Todd McShay. I think the big point is,
if there's any kind of failure in the first year or two, it would be very easy for him to change his mind and go to Major League Baseball. And that's something you have to factor in. It really is. Because, you know, if it's not working after year one, are you going to lose out on a first-round pick? And then we're talking, you know, if it's somewhere in the middle of the first round, $10 to $16 million of guaranteed money that you're giving this guy. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out.
That's a little bit of flawed logic, because remember, it was almost some of the same stuff with Josh Rosen. The question about Josh Rosen is, your parents are so well off, you won't be playing with the desperation of what happens if you fail. Your life will still be okay. Proven to be a dumb thought, but basically, scouts sit around and think of everything that might be dumb in order to talk themselves in and out of decisions, because it's such an important decision. Why wouldn't you bring up a similar point with Kyler Murray? Will he be as desperate to be a great quarterback when he can bail very early if it's not working? Will he stick it out? How do you know when he is a top 10 baseball player in the 2018 baseball
draft? Yeah, I really don't know, but I just know that that's going to be a huge a huge gamble, just a huge risk for general managers and for teams to say, yeah, you know, he's played 1 year and he blew it up and he was a Heisman Trophy winner and he's just awesome and he was going to play baseball all of this time and now he's actually supposedly in love with football. Wow, and he's under 5'9", by the way. Under 5'9", 5'8 and a half, if that. That... You got to be kidding me. You know, at what point do you say this is just too risky in the first round? Too risky. Too much of a definition change for a franchise quarterback. That's going to hurt him. I think it is. At some point in time, the fact that he's always, it's been baseball, 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 and he just suddenly is in love with football now. Boy, I'd be careful on that. I'd be real careful.
The WWE is taking over Phoenix January 26th through the 29th as Royal Rumble, SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, and NXT TakeOver come to NXT TakeOver come to Chase Field and Talking Stick Resort Arena. Visit the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com for complete details and your chance to win tickets. So we're talking about what the Cardinals might do with the number one pick in the draft. I hate to bring it up, but what about the Suns? What will the Suns do with the number one pick in the draft? Something historic happened last night. Duke lost for the first time in their history as a number one team at home against an unranked team. Never had it happen before. But if you're a Suns fan, you might say, Doug, I don't care about college basketball. Well, you might care about this. In that game, Zion Williamson scored points.
No.
35 of them. Why does that matter? Highest total in the history of the program for a freshman. Do you think Duke basketball's had some pretty good players?
Yes.
The highest total ever for a freshman, and I've been joking for a while about Zion Williamson and the comment of Jay Billis, which I just think is hilarious. We haven't seen this kind of mismatch since Lawrence Taylor. Just a perfect dichotomy of two forces. Yep. But now we have a new comparison. If you want to get attention for your program, bring up Charles Barkley because you know Barkley will talk about you on TNT. And Jim Boeheim did exactly that.
It's hard to defend him. He's a physical specimen. He's like Charles Barkley was, except he shoots better than Charles did. And he's not as fat.
Oh! Jimmy B.
And if you really think about it, that means he's not like Charles Barkley. Well, he can shoot and he's not fat.
They call him the Heim, Basinonians at the Cuse, of course, right? They call him the Heim. Can you imagine that right there? He's not as fat. He had to throw that in there. That's funny.
You know and that's going to be all over TNT.
You know Chuck is going to be on that, too.
Syracuse is going to get a ton of attention for that, and then they'll get brilliant. Even more attention when Charles Barkley comes at him for that. I just thought that was hilarious. But we need to start the Zion watch or the Duke watch and start watching everything Duke does because there's a chance a Dukie could be a Sun at some point around June or so.
The Heim.
Coming up next, speaking of the Suns, let's get the latest on some trade rumors that were involved in that were going on last night and the latest on the Cardinals offensive coordinator search as John Gambadora from Burns and Gambo calls in next with the latest on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Couple things going on with the Suns. They're taking on the Pacers tonight. You can hear the game on ESPN 620 AM or keep it right here. And Burns and Gambo keep you updated throughout the game as they will be on from 2 to 6. Gambo just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. We've also got Cardinals to talk about as well as Gambo has some insight there. Let's start with number one. John, how are you?
Doug, I'm good. How are you?
I still get paid to sit on my butt. I'm happy.
Yeah, you just got back from Finland, didn't you?
I did. Me and my wife like those crazy winter vacations with the dog mushing and the snowmobiling and cold and igloos. I don't know why, but we just do.
That's awesome, Johnny. Seriously,
that is strange.
I saw some of the stuff out there. No doubt about it. The dog sledding. You had to love that, right?
Oh, my God. The dog mushing was unbelievable. Like 10 kilometers, and you ride the dogs. And like it's not somebody riding you. You actually get to ride them. And it's fun. I mean, it's different. You know, it's better than sitting on a beach to me.
Wow. That's I do agree with that. I just I would hate all the layers. So if I could do it with flip-flops on, I would be fine with it.
Yeah, I know. The layers make it tough, but they're necessary.
I really like these Cardinals hirings around the offensive coordinator, but it is weird to still not have an offensive coordinator as of yet, unless your future offensive coordinator is still involved in the NFL playoffs right now. What are you hearing, John? Who's either the latest coming in for an interview, or is DeFilippo the guy? What's going on with the Cardinals OC
position? Well, I'll tell you, Doug, DeFilippo's the guy they want. Like, he's the guy they want. They think that he'd be a good pairing with Cliff Kingsbury. But it's not the most important hire. They believe that they've already accomplished the most important hires on the staff, which is the DC, Vance Joseph, and the offensive line coach in Kugler. Mm. They believe that those were the two most important hires that they could make. They got that out of the way. Now they're just going through the process. DeFilippo had another interview with Jacksonville. He's got connections with Tom Coughlin. They would like to get him, but it's not the be-all, end-all. It was most important to get Vance Joseph. They had him and Todd Bowles rated way ahead of everybody else as defensive coordinators. And Kugler, they really feel that this is the best offensive line coach they've ever had here in Arizona, even better than Russ Grimm. So those are the two most important coaches. I do believe that DeFilippo's the guy they want, but I don't think it's like the absolute necessity to get him. If they don't get him, I think they'll rebound just fine.
Johnny, how do you think they feel about James Saxon? Obviously, they hired him, so they like him, but tell us a little bit about Saxon and the fact that Stump Mitchell wasn't hired.
You know, Stump, they wanted Stump. They did, but Stump is very, very close to Freddie Kitchens, and they got an indication early, and Stump may have been passed over for a job here in the past, and that may have led to it, but he was very close with Freddie. And that's why he ended up taking a job. And they had that indication that that was going to happen. They rebounded nicely with Saxon. I mean, all of the indications that I'm getting from them is, man, look at the running backs he's worked with. I mean, look at all the running backs this guy's worked with. Now, you know, Wolf, you know this. They're going to have a very, very physical offensive line under Kugler. I mean, this guy's going to bring a level of physicality. I've talked to a couple of players on that team who are telling me the same thing. So I think that, you know, they're really going to try to be physical on the mm-hmm. offensive line and have a really good running game. I think Saxon seems like a good hire to me just based on all the Pro Bowlers he's had, the 1,000-yard guys that he's had. So they feel like they ended up with a good running. But did they want Stump Mitchell? Yes. They preferred to have Stump Mitchell, but they weren't able to get him because of his relationship with Freddie.
Yeah, Johnny, stop and think about it. I mean, Lev Bell, he's coached Lev Bell for 4 years, and three of those years he went to the Pro Bowl. Lev Bell went to the Pro Bowl 3 of the 4 years that James Saxon was his coach. Who's the one guy that everyone compares David Johnson to? Lev Bell.
Yeah. Yep.
We're talking to John Gambadora, Burns and Gambo, 2-6. Now we're flipping it to the Suns. All right. I realize everybody says they need a point guard, but I'm getting to the point, John, where we're so late in the year. Just let Melton and Okobo go, figure out what you've got in them, and then worry about your point guard next year because you're not going anywhere this year without it. What say you?
You're 100% right. I mean, everything you said is 100% right. Listen, I got wind that Dennis Smith Jr. was available about 6 weeks ago. I told this, you know, I talked to people in the Suns organization about it, and they had no interest. Because I had somebody who was at a Dallas game, you know, very close to the organization, and told me that you know, they're going to try to move Smith. This was 6 weeks ago.
Mm.
I did ask the Suns about him, and they said he had no interest. And then Woj comes out with a report last night. And listen, I give the guy a lot of credit. He's great at what he does. But he's saying the Suns have engaged in talks with the Phoenix Suns, and it's 100% incorrect. There have been no talks with the Phoenix Suns. They're not interested in him. They look at him as an explosive athlete who can dunk, and that's not what they want. They want their point guard to be the fourth or fifth option on the court for scoring. Dennis Smith Jr. is a scorer. He's had a torn ACL, so there's some, you know, a little bit of injury history there. He's, you know, he's shooting the ball okay this year, but he's not considered a great shooter, and he's not considered a high basketball IQ guy, not a great decision maker. He's not a point guard that they have any interest in. They've never had any interest in him. So this report that came out last night, and Woj may be right about other teams. He may be right about Orlando, and it may be true that Detroit wants Dennis Smith Jr., but I'm telling you, without any shadow of a doubt, the Suns
have no interest in Dennis Smith Jr. None. Zero. So that report was incorrect.
Are there any trades out there that you do actually think have a little bit of merit to them that the Suns may be interested in pulling?
No, I think Doug's right. I mean, I think they're developing Melton. He's doing a really good job defensively. I mean, he had a game the other day, you know, Ron, where he didn't score a point on a field goal. I mean, he had zero field goals, but he had 10 assists and four steals and,
career
you know,
high.
Contributed. They're developing a defensive identity. But what Doug's right. I mean, develop the point guard you have and don't force anything stupid, you know, to get somebody like an Elfrid Payton or somebody like that that's not going to be a part of your future. I think the point guard they're looking for is somebody that is, one, a facilitator and a defender, but not a major scorer, not a guy that has to take shots away from Josh Jackson and Oubre and TJ and Devin and Ayton. They don't want to add a point guard that wants to shoot the ball 15 times a game. They don't believe that that's in their best interest.
John, I got about a minute left, but I still want to cram in one more question. Who is the 2019-2020 general manager of the era, of the Phoenix Suns?
I don't know. I mean, I think that my guess is James Jones. He's done a good job. The Oubre trade is just, and I know they backed into it, guys. Look, we know that, you know, they wanted Dylan Brooks and everybody else was there. Memphis thought it was Marshawn Brooks, and I was in the middle of that thing all night. So trust me, they thought they were trading for Dylan Brooks. But the way it ended up,
I credit them for being able to adjust. You know, they were able to adjust that fast.
They did. Kelly Oubre is one of the best players on this team. I mean, he is so good, and they're gonna have to pay him $12 to $15 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's gonna be James Jones.
That's good,
Johnny. Thanks
good
so much, man. Appreciate you.
All right, boys, you got it. Take care.
Yep.
Hear more from Gambo coming up today, 2 to 6. He'll be on Burns and Gambo here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You want more Suns? They'll be on ESPN 620 AM with tip-off with Al and Tim coming up against the Indiana Pacers tonight at 5 o'clock. And Gambo joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Go to CoulterTempe.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterOnCamelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. All right. Do you want a coach that says everyone believes I'm the right choice? Or do you want a coach that says I don't look at the internet? Huh? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Yeah! 15 minutes away from head coach Bruce Arians calling in. Want to know what he thinks about Kyler Murray? Want to know if he thinks the Cardinals will be able to trade that number one pick? Want to know why he's back in coaching and not coaching the Cardinals.
B.A. back in the league, ladies and gentlemen.
And so we got a lot to talk to Bruce Arians about. Again, former head coach of the Cardinals, current head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a 2019 opponent of the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
So we'll talk to him about all those things. Again, that's coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Doug and Wolf Show, right after Maloney's next SportsCenter update. But I wanted you to hear some of the things that happened in press conferences yesterday. And one of the more shocking things that happened in a press conference happened a little bit away from the standard portion of the press conference. Of course, you know, when we were talking about the New York Jets, Adam Gase came out and with the typical.
I just want to start off thanking Christopher Johnson, Mike Maccagnan, the rest of the Jets organization.
You know, and that was the typical stuff, and why he said, yeah, I'm staying in the division. You know, it's weird to hire somebody else's division reject, but to him it wasn't about anything to do with the AFC East and everything to do with Darnold.
The number one thing for me was a young quarterback, you know, and I also think the knowledge of playing these guys over the last 3 years, and that was interesting for me to stay in division.
What happened, honestly? Did the Miami Dolphins light up the New York Jets? I don't even know. Have not even looked at it. Did they light up the New York Jets? They had to have, right? Otherwise, there's no way you're going to go get Adam Gase and bring him in. I really wonder, truly, deep down inside, this is, and I'll promise you, Adam Gase is wondering the exact same thing. Where was he on their wish list? Where was Adam Gase on the wish list?
It does sound like he was number two. But McCarthy was number one.
Don't know. We hear all of these rumors about Cliff Kingsbury and how they didn't want him to get out of New York. They didn't want him to get out of New York.
But nobody ever officially said, was he the OC or the head coach? Did they want Kingsbury? No, we never knew.
Exactly. Mike McCarthy came out in Adam Schefter, the Adam Schefter tweet that said, I am not considering any other job, than the New York Jets job. That was he didn't get it. Why?
The other part of this presser, though, is not something that stood out because it was off to the side. After the press conference is over, the owner meets with the media, and he said some things we don't have the sound on. It was kind of interesting. Chris Johnson, during the presser, said, hey, no mandates.
The fans do deserve better, no question about it. I do have high expectations, but there will be no playoff mandate. Absolutely not. I'll never do that.
But the fans kind of felt like you were describing. Fans of the Jets are fired up and angry because they look at this and say they got another divisional reject. They don't want Adam Gase. They're not thrilled with this at all. And in the side session, Christopher Johnson, who's the acting owner, he's the CEO, told them, listen, I get it. Part of it is I have to earn their trust, meaning the fans. I think they will see right now that pretty soon this is a great hire. I'm not trying to win Twitter. I'm trying to win football games.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. And then they went to something else. Matt Rhule, this is where it's more interesting about Cliff Kingsbury, that both the Jets and Cardinals tried to hire Big 12 coaches. Cardinals succeeded, the Jets didn't. And according to some reports, Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach, turned them down because they were going to force him to choose different coaches they wanted him to hire.
Which is a new trend in the National Football League.
So Cliff Kingsbury of the Cardinals says, I'm fine with Steve Keim and the Cardinals choosing my assistants or helping me choose. I'm involved in the process, but I'm not the final decision maker. Matt Rhule did not deny or actually say it happened. He did not confirm or deny that the Jets were on top of it. But listen to what he said on ESPN Central, a Texas radio station, saying, well, I don't want to talk about the Jets, but
I'm not saying that's what happened. You know, I don't want to say anything about that job. I just think, and any time I've talked about it, you know, at the end of the day, I'm never going to be in an arranged marriage. You know, I'm never going to be subcontract out jobs for the offense and defense. And, you know, I always want to hire people that believe in what I believe, that are going to do things our way, that believe in process, that are going to be part of a program.
Do you know there's a real possibility that Adam Gase was the fourth choice?
There is.
For the Jets.
When Johnson was asked about that exact quote, about those comments from Matt Rhule, he said, no, that never happened. I completely deny it.
Wow.
That's kind of strong.
Categorically. That's is the only other way you could say that to make it even stronger.
So that's,
I categorically deny it.
That's story number one from a press conference you need to know about. Again, we're only about 9-10 minutes away from Bruce Arians. We could talk a little bit about his press conference as the head coach of Tampa Bay and ask him what he thinks Freddie Kitchens is going to be able to do in Cleveland.
That's great.
The Bucks do not play Cleveland this year, but it'll be fun to talk to him about a lot of different things. But Freddie Kitchens, he said some really interesting things.
I know that I'm not a popular choice. I understand that, and I don't care.
And one of them sounds pretty humble. It sounds like a guy that really is not intimidated by the weight on his shoulders, but really cares.
It takes some guts to do what they did, all right? And I appreciate that. I won't let them down.
So on that, boy, does that sound nice, humble. I won't let them down. I appreciate what they've done.
Well, that's kind of Rex Ryan right there.
And then
I won't let them down. Well, sometimes you fail. Hey, we all do.
Well, you know, if you wanted a little bit of Rex Ryan.
Since 1999, there's been ups and downs with this organization. And just like during the season, sometimes there's more ups and sometimes there's more down. And since 1999, I understand and I relish the fact that there's been more downs than up, but that ends today.
Oh, no.
I promise you that.
Oh, no. I like Freddie Kitchens a lot.
I love Freddie. Are you kidding me? This guy is a personal friend. He's a friend.
And I think it was the right hire, but whatever you say, it ends today. I promise you it ends today. I got to tell you, it reminds me of one other press conference.
I will bring an explosive, powerful offense to this franchise.
That's Lane Kiffin as an OC at USC He might have only been the quarterback's coach, yes. I think. I think it was maybe Steve Sarkisian was the OC. I can't remember. But he walked into the Raiders' job, yes. And that's what he said.
Our only goal ever, 7-8-1. It drives me crazy that people are happy with 7-8-1. It drives me literally crazy. And if I was in a different setting, my vocabulary would demonstrate that. But, you know, that's not acceptable. Nobody here wants that. We understand that was an improvement, but under no circumstance is that ever going to be acceptable.
You know what? Honestly, never, ever call your shot on results. That's what he did. Freddie just made the mistake of any head coach in the press. Never, ever call your shot on the results. Call your shot on the process.
We only have one goal here, and that's to host the Lombardi Trophy.
That's okay. I have no problem with what he said right there. But when you're starting to say, you know what, that ends today. That ends. You're calling your shot on the results. What you have to do is focus on the process. Focus on saying, I promise you, my effort is going to be like, I'm going to give you everything I've got every day. Call the results on the process. Don't call results on the results.
I can tell you, though, and you know that fan base better than me. You played for the Browns. I'm just an Ohioan and a Cleveland hater. But he won that press conference, though. I mean, you talk about a guy that everybody's wondering, well, wait, he just called plays for about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and all of a sudden he's our head coach. Is he the right guy? He did win that press conference. I guarantee love you Freddie. Cleveland loves Freddie Kitchens. Now, absolutely it'll end as soon as he loses. Him. If he starts losing, they'll turn on him. But right now, I bet that whole city loves Freddie Kitchens.
Just don't call your shot on the results.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Kinetico. All right, who's the best quarterback in the draft according to Bruce Arians? Because he's already got his guy in Jameis Winston. Maybe he'll tell us. Why is he back in coaching and not the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals? And we got about seven more questions we can't wait to ask him. Former Cardinals head coach, winningest coach in the history of the Arizona Cardinals, is now the Tampa Bay head coach. Why? We'll ask him next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.